We're entering peak fall apple season, and it's a great time to get out to your local orchard and get picking. Or maybe you've got apple trees on your own land, or you hit the weekly varieties at your grocery store or your farmer's market. However you enjoy Wisconsin apples, you might be scratching the surface of what the state has to offer, with a lot more varieties and history than most of us realize. Our next guest spent years recording a comprehensive history of thousands of apple varieties across North America and is finishing up a project documenting Wisconsin's apple history. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. How do you enjoy fall apple season? Is there a variety of apple you enjoy the most that you go hunting for? Do you have a favorite place in Wisconsin to go apple picking? Do you have apples, apple trees yourself? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Dan Bussey is an apple historian. He works with the Heirloom Orchard at Silverwood Park in Edgerton. He was formerly an orchard manager for Seed Savers Exchange in Decorah, Iowa. He's the author of a 7-volume encyclopedia called The Illustrated History of Apples in the United States and Canada. Dan, thanks a lot for joining us today.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Dan, I like apples. A lot of people like apples. You really got into apples. What inspired you to start this journey to catalog all the apples of North America?
Well, I grew up on a small family farm near Edgerton, Wisconsin, and it was in the middle of my dad's house was in the middle of the old family orchard that had been planted, oh gosh, a century before that. And I just remember these huge trees surrounding the house and didn't really know what they were. And of course, being a kid, I didn't pay much attention to them. It was fun to pick them up and throw them at my brother or something, but that was about it. But I knew when I had my own place, I was going to plant apple trees. And I got thinking about those old trees and started wondering about the varieties that they used to be grown there.
Now, when I was a kid, I remember going to the grocery store and there might be 2, maybe 3 varieties of apples. A lot of the time you might have a red, a green, and a yellow, and that was about it. It seems like there's been a real apple renaissance where we're starting to embrace more and more variety. Have you seen that over the years?
Absolutely. Especially in the last few years, there have been more new varieties introduced into the marketplace than I've ever seen before. It's really something. But we've always forgotten how great some of the old varieties we used to grow were. Market forces, you know, causes when they don't sell apples, they will plant different trees. And that's pretty normal. So old popular varieties that were really good once upon a time really got lost for no good reason. So people like myself and some devoted followers like to hunt for these old trees and see if we can bring some of them back out again. Because when we found them, they have been really, really wonderful apples.
How do you hunt for an apple variety that we haven't seen maybe for years or decades?
Well, you first have to find probably a very old tree, probably something that you probably couldn't wrap your arms around the trunk lower down because it would have to be a pretty good size at that point. But it's knowing where nurserymen used to be located and finding farmsteads in the areas where they were and seeing there's old trees. And we can always tell you what an apple isn't, but it's hard to know exactly what it is. So that takes a little bit of skullduggery to find out and be able to put a name to things.
Wisconsin, obviously we grow a lot of apples here. I didn't know this, Dan, until I read about some of your work. A lot of strains, a lot of varieties of apples started here in Wisconsin. How much of the apple world have we contributed?
Quite a bit. I mean, the Wolf River is probably the most iconic variety. And of course, the Northwestern Greening is another one that's pretty well known. But the Wolf River is probably the one that more people know about than any other variety from Wisconsin. And so Wonderful Apple is a huge apple. If you've never seen one, a couple will make a pie. You can barely hold one in your hand. And it's not an eating apple, but it's a good cooking apple and makes a fabulous apple butter. So that's what it's really, I think, best known for.
There's so many varieties of apple. What goes into the process to create a new one?
Well, sheer accident. The nice thing about apples is they're like people. They're heterozygous, which means when they're pollinated, whatever is the seeds are in that apple, it's a cross of that tree plus whatever pollinated it. So it will come out completely different. The old adage is every apple plant's an orchard because every seed that you plant from that apple can be completely different than the parent when it grows up.
We're talking to apple historian Dan Bussey about Wisconsin apples and the fall apple season. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a question about apples, the history of apples for our historian? Do you have a favorite memory you associate with apples? What are your recommendations for the best varieties or maybe the best orchards in Wisconsin if you're in the apple business yourself? Love to hear from you, too. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with Dan Bussey, apple historian. He works with the Heirloom Orchard at Silverwood Park in Edgerton. He wrote the book, actually multiple books, about apple varieties in the United States and Canada. With us today to talk about the past, present, and future of apples here in Wisconsin, you can join in at 800-642-1234. What is your favorite kind of apple for eating, baking, you name it? What questions do you have about apples here in the state? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls. Will is with us in Mineral Point. Will, hello.
Hello. I just turned on the radio and was listening to the show, and I had an anecdote to share. My wife had found a program at Taliesin over the weekend, and so we went out there with our family on Sunday, and you could just walk around the grounds, kind of go anywhere you wanted to. So it was a really unique opportunity, and they had a very old orchard there. So we were walking through that, and the trees were all gnarly, and, you know, you could tell they'd been pruned for 100 years. And the tree, the apples on this thing were just enormous, and some had fallen to the ground. And so I don't know if we were supposed to take on that, but I've got a couple of small kids. So we poached some apples off the ground and went and sat in the vineyard to hide away. And they were some of the best apples I've had in a long time. And, you know, just really enjoyed it. And Dan, I wanted to let you know about it. It might be a cool place to go see what kinds of apples that Frank Lloyd Wright was planting. They were definitely worth trying to propagate some more of these things.
And, well, I don't know, did you find out what variety they were?
No, we didn't ask anybody because we didn't want to that we were
be escorted off the grounds with your contraband apples. Well, thanks a lot for the call. Dan, so first of all, that makes me think, if we find an apple at Taliesin or whatever, and we're like, this is great, I have no clue what kind it is. Is there a way to do the detective work and find out what kind of apple is this?
Actually, I can tell you because I was just at Taliesin last week looking at the apples. I'm doing some consulting work with them on replacing the original orchard planted around 1915 by Frank Lloyd Wright. I have a list of the varieties that they had at that time, and we're going to start replacing all those original varieties that they had in the orchard in the new part and fill in those gaps where you saw. And yes, there are some wonderful apples that are growing on the property, and so I know it very well.
Excellent. Thanks a lot for that call. I will go now to Mark in Two Rivers. Mark, hi.
Hey, good afternoon. A couple things I wanted to bring up is this year there seems to be a very, very good year for apples. And I know the apple trees in our backyard are just flooded with apples, and the quality of those are very good. The other thing is we have a flowering crab in our backyard, and it's got small apples about the size of a little bit larger than a pea. And I worked up the courage this year, and I tasted one of them. And I'll tell you, they're tart, but they are some of the best tasting apples I've ever tried.
Fantastic, Mark. Thanks a lot for sharing that. Dan, first of all, good apple year despite a stretch of drought for a lot of the state?
Actually, it does help. Last year was probably the most fabulous apple year I can remember. But this year, there's a smaller crop in some areas, but a good crop in others, like where you are. And the quality is fabulous because a dry year promotes higher sugar levels compared to water. And so the flavor of these apples is going to be more intense this year than in years past. And that goes to say for the crab apples and the regular apples both. I've seen really elevated sugar levels. When I go foraging for apples, I take a refractometer with me, which measures the amount of sugar that's in them. And we've seen some pretty high levels of sugar in the apples this year.
Mark, thanks a lot for sharing your experience. Margaret joins us now in Jackson. Margaret, hello.
Hey, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear. What did you want to tell us about?
I was wondering if you had heard of a variety that was at my grandparents' farm in Southwest Missouri. So I don't know if you are familiar with Missouri apples, but it was called the transparent apple. They were small and they were good for really good for making applesauce.
They're called transparent, Margaret. Were they see-through, or was the applesauce really like translucent or something?
I think they might have been called transparent because the skin was kind of a pale green. It was a pale green color, and I'm assuming actually that's why they were called transparent apples.
Margaret, thanks. Dan, you have heard of these?
Oh yes, the yellow transparent is one of the classic apples grown in Wisconsin as well as Missouri. It was really a popular apple. Transparent because yes, the skin was fairly translucent, and it is a easily bruised apple. So it isn't a great marketing apple because it can't be shipped much. But if you grab it really hard, you could leave your fingerprints in it. It's soft enough, but it makes some of the earliest wonderful apple pies and sauce you ever could ever want to have.
Margaret, thanks for the call. Brian is with us now in Kimberly. Brian, hi.
Hi, I don't know if all Wolf Rivers are created equal, but I remember growing up eating what I thought was a Wolf River. It was a kind of a tougher skin, and I have to disagree if that's a Wolf River. I thought they were a good eating apple.
It depends. If you like it, it's a good eating apple. If you don't, that's the difference. That's the beauty of apples, because if there's one you don't care for, there has to be another one that you will love completely. So my tastes are going to be different than yours. So find one that you really like, whether it's a Wolf River or something else.
Brian, thanks a lot for the call. Dan, I got to ask before we let you go, in your research on apples, is there a holy grail of apples where you know they existed and you want to find an actual sample?
Oh, my gosh. There are a number of Wisconsin apples I would love to find. The list is actually quite long and hard, but I'm a cider maker. And so, of course, we're always looking for those classic American cider varieties. The one that is going to be a really tough one to find is the Tolliver. It looks like it's spelled Tallow. It's an apple that Thomas Jefferson really espoused. There was an apple thought to be it some years ago, but it turned out not to be. So that's one. It's also known as a Gloucester White. And it was a classic cider variety listed by a lot of nurseries. We've got to find it someplace.
And briefly, Dan, do you ever hit a point where you're like, I need a break from tasting apples and tasting apple cider? Or are you like me with donuts? You could always have more.
Oh, donuts are my next best thing. So yes. Yeah, I never get tired of it. You just don't. It's too fun. It's way too fun.
Dan, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a lot of fun.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
That's Dan Bussey, apple historian who works with the Heirloom Orchard at Silverwood Park in Edgerton. He's the author of The Illustrated History of Apples in the United States and Canada. He's with us today to share his vast knowledge of Wisconsin apple growing, grafting, and picking.